good to hear such great singing this morning. And as we do sing songs to Christ and just take delight in Him, I am reminded of the gift of those who can sing well, and we appreciate them so much. And also just a heart that praises the Lord. You know, sometimes if you are singing a song and not quite there in terms of a note or even understanding part of the message that's given in the music, that your heart saying, thank you, God, for you. And thank you for all you've done for us. It means everything to the Lord. So keep up the good worship heart toward Christ every day. And especially when we gather, it does open our eyes up to Christ a bit more, does it not? I know I enjoy the devotional closet. That's when you go and pray to God, and it's a wonderful time, one-on-one. But when you get together with other people, and I am a bit of a reserved, private person, but still, when I'm worshiping with other people, I see Christ more clearly. And I hope that's your testimony, too, because that's what will happen in heaven, you know. We'll see Him real clearly with many and many around Him. So in the Bible today, we see Jesus at the Last Supper and inviting His disciples to take part of that with Him. And the emotions that He felt and the emotions that they felt, I don't know if we could catch, being we are not Jewish people celebrating the Passover, but that was happening between the Lord and His disciples. That was a special occasion right from the get-go. And even before He started to talk about giving His life and taking the bread and taking the cup, they were in a very dramatic time together. If you could compare it with having a last meal that happened to be Thanksgiving Day itself, or a Christmas meal that you might have with your loved ones, or Easter, you know, lunchtime, or whatever really means a lot to you in terms of the impact you have with loved ones, with God's blessing on your life. That's what these disciples were feeling and what Christ was feeling toward them when they got together for that Last Supper. And what a powerful thing. It's His way of saying, I love you, by having the Last Supper with them. And He says that to us this morning. If anything you come away with this morning, taking the bread and the cup, remember Christ's love for you, already demonstrated, and keeps on rolling your way. You have your heart open a little bit to Him. He takes the bread and says, take and eat. This is for you. He takes the cup. Take and drink. This is the covenant. This is my promise to you. How great that God would make a promise. I noticed that at that communion time, Jesus didn't say, now this is my promise to you. What's your promise to me? What are you going to do? We'll deal with that in a little bit. But Christ wanted to give Himself. And if people would receive Him, you see, receive His promise, then they're able to walk in a healthy manner. But communion as a time with the Lord and each other really does point us to Jesus Himself. We do make preparation by singing and praying and having Scripture. But we should remember that as important as the bread is as a gift from God, pointing to Christ, and the cup is as a gift from God, pointing to the shed blood on the cross, the bread and the cup do not save us. Christ saves us. He's bigger than the meal. See, He provided the meal, but He's the one that we meet with this morning. And shortly after that communion time, close to His disciples, loving them 100%, He says something to them that's very dramatic and causes a lot of mixed emotions, both for the Lord and for the disciples. He says, you will all fall away. And that particular night, they would. You will all fall away. And King James says, you will be made to stumble because of me. They're going to let the Lord down in a big way shortly after that very special time of the Lord's Supper. They're going to fall. And Jesus loves them at communion, full well knowing their limitations and full well knowing what He could expect from them. I was with a bunch of preachers a couple of months ago, and a discussion came about in terms of standards of living in the church and such, and how we are to want to do things God's way and follow after Christ. And the question was raised, well, what does God expect of us? What does He expect of us? And you get some preachers asking that question. You know, a lot of smoke and flames and passion come forth. And I was sitting there thinking, well, I know what He expects. What He expects of us, if He didn't help us, I would expect that He would expect us to go to perish forever. He would expect me to be in hell if He didn't help me. I know that. So I full well know what He expects of me. But if it's not for His mercy and grace. But Jesus, knowing the disciples' limitations, knowing in a matter of hours they would all run away from Him like scared rabbits, He nevertheless says, take and eat. This is for you. This is the promise that will get you through your time of falling flat on your face. And he says, oh, I will meet you in Galilee when I rise from the dead. And there were a lot of things going on with those disciples at the Last Supper. Luke's gospel tells us that when they were meeting together, they were saying, who would betray you, Lord? Would it be I? They wanted to be transparent before Christ. They also began to say which one of them was the greatest, perhaps least likely to betray the Lord. And nevertheless, in spite of all that going on, Jesus says, I promise I'll be there for you. I'll bring the forgiveness. And so when we approach communion, we can ask ourselves what's going on in the Lord's heart towards us and what's going on in our heart towards the Lord. Perhaps we focus sometimes in on the promises we make to Him that we cannot possibly keep except for throwing ourselves on His mercy and grace. That's a promise we can keep. We're able to throw ourselves on His mercy and grace. At communion time, the one who knows us the best, He knows our moments when we're most likely to fall. He still loves us the most. And He says, I'll be there. And I'll bring the forgiveness and cleansing you need. He says, this is my body. This is my cup. Please take it. The Bible does tell us before we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are to examine ourselves so that we might know the body of the Lord. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So the focus is still on Christ, even when we examine ourselves. Sometimes we mistakenly think when we have special times with the Lord that examining ourselves means I have to clean myself up spiritually and kind of do that for myself before I can even be with Christ at His meal. We kind of mistakenly feel that. I remember the first time I participated in communion or the Lord's Supper. I was 7 years old. We celebrated the Lord's Supper on a Sunday. And on Saturday, our whole group of seven-year-olders confessed our sin to a clergyman. We just had a time of saying where we felt like we were not following God and we were told to do certain things and we were told, and between the time you confess your sin and the time you participate in the Lord's Supper, you best not go too far away from the Lord or get away from Him, because He'd be very displeased then and be angry with you when you would participate in communion. So I thought, I'm 7 years old, I can handle one day of obedience. Well, I was mistaken. Afternoon, didn't go well. Nighttime, parents, why are they irritating me so much? They age seven, they should really straighten up and understand my world. I come to communion with a lot of mixed feelings. Should I even participate? Do I come on the basis of how well I confessed my sin or even how well I've acted up to the point of receiving what the Lord has for me? Or do I examine myself for the sake, as Paul said, of discerning the body of Christ? For the sake of discerning the Lord, saying, wow, how much I need Him. How I would be drawn close to Him as an invitation. If we come to try to cleanse ourselves first, that's not a way to meet Christ. We come to Him and His table so that He might set us free. And He full well knows our limitations. The first way of approaching communion or the Lord, there's really only two ways of doing it. One is based on our own goodness, that we would come and participate in the Lord's Supper. We might say, I've examined myself today. As far as I know, I have a clear conscience, and so here I am, Lord, and I will participate. And that's really a natural way of thinking, of doing things. In God's Word, in Galatians chapter 5, it says this, if we approach God even on the basis of our religious practice, Paul happened to be dealing with circumcision in Galatians 5, that's a religious practice. If we approach God even on the basis of religious practice, God's Word says we are really obligated to keep the whole law. So if we decide we're going to straighten up and fly right to approach communion, we really better straighten up and fly right from A to Z. And that God's standard doesn't change. He wants holiness that only He can give. And the Bible tells us that we're a prisoner of sin without His help. We're helpless until His forgiveness and grace comes. When you think about the weight of the law, how complete it is, and how it shows us we can't approach Christ on the basis of our goodness. Think of it in this way. What if on your best days you only turned away from God or sinned against Him twice a day? That would be pretty good. Most of us have used that up already. Here we are before noon on a Sunday. So the rest of the day we have to be perfect. Well, we go before God and we live like that for a whole month at our absolute best behavior, turning away from Him in thought, word, or deed only twice a day. That's pretty good. Want to hang around those kind of people. But if we did that in other areas of life, we'd see the need of a change that only God can bring. Let's say you only had two traffic tickets every day for a month since the last time you participated in communion. You go before the magistrate and you say, he says, here I have 60 speeding tickets. What do you have to say for yourself? And you pretty much say, hey, I really feel like I'm ready to give me my keys. I'm ready to be let loose, you know, on society with all we have. That certainly would be laughable. And for us to approach Christ on the basis of even our absolute best behavior would certainly, we would miss Him. We would miss Him in that case. I remember the story of a pastor, Stuart Briscoe, who serves in Wisconsin. His church had a nice fellowship. They were going to build another building at a different location. So it created a lot of issues in the community, where they would be and who the neighbors would be and such. And so finally a spot was chosen and a meeting was held to give them the permit to build the church building. And people were a little bit hesitant to have a church in the particular neighborhood they were going to. People said, you know, if you have a church in here, you're going to have all kind of traffic of people coming and going. All kind of people going to church with all kind of problems. One man stood up and said, Pastor, if you build that church building in this neighborhood, there's going to be all kind of deficient people in and out of here on a regular basis. And the pastor stood up and said, you know, you're absolutely right. And you're welcome to join us. Being he was one of the deficient people in the world. And Jesus, you know, he invites us to Himself. And He has a foreknowledge already of you and I at our most sinful. He already sees that from all eternity past. He saw it in the disciples. He said, you're going to let me down, but I'll meet you in Galilee. I'm going to rise from the dead, and I give you the bread, and I give you the cup, because I'm all you have, whether you walk well or fall. And when you fall, I'm the only one who could give you the goodness to keep going and to lift us up. We don't approach the Lord or the Lord's table based on even how well we could confess our sin, but we do examine ourselves that we might discern the Lord Himself. And say, thank you, Lord, for your invitation. You're welcome. Thank you, Lord, that if there's any significant change going to happen in my life, It will happen through your person. And it will help happen through your work. You love me from that cross. And I know you'll love me in the days to come. One particular young man struggled, as we all do, when we come to the Lord's table. And for me, it's a combination of probably you can't get any more serious of a service than the Lord's Supper, I would think, because we remember Jesus giving his life for us. But it's also there's also a sense of celebration. Thank you, Lord. I can come to you. Know your care. One man had that same struggle, especially in that particular week. He had a drunk driving incident in his life. He had a problem with that, so he was given a driving under the influence penalty, DUI, name in the paper, and all the rest that goes along with that. And he comes to church, and he don't know how God feels about him. He don't know how he feels about God. He comes just because would there be help somewhere for him. He's not sure how people feel about him or how he feels about the people, for that matter. And communion is passed from pew to pew. And the plate comes to him. And he hesitates to take the bread. The plate is given. He hesitates and he begins to pass it. And a wise elder who gave him the plate just leans over and says, take it. He says, take it, man. It's for sinners. And so the man, you know, remembers Jesus. He takes the bread. Life changed by Christ alone. And the forgiveness and presence of Christ is known in the life of the person. And this morning, when you take the bread and the cup, beyond the bread and the cup, remember, part of our testimony and the testimony when you take that bread and cup is this. We say, we take the bread, we take the cup, because we take Jesus, and he is for sinners. And here we are to receive from him fellowship and change in our hearts and meet with the only one who could bring the strength enough to repent, the only one who could pick us up when we do fall up and down throughout the day, throughout the week. And he brings the change he desires. We're so glad for the invitation. We're so glad that he'd share this meal with us. And meet with him with your open heart this morning as we have communion with the Lord and with each other. Let's all pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for those first apostles. We look at their lives. We see ourselves, Lord, in their shoes. And you full well knew the ups and downs they would have. And even though all of them ran for the hills, Lord, shortly after the Lord's Supper, they were able to follow you with your help when you rose from the dead. So your love prevailed. And for each one of us, Father, when we trip or feel like, boy, I'm 100 miles away from the Lord, I don't even know if I know him at this point, that you show up and you meet us where we're at to give that yourself as our strength and our sense of forgiveness and acceptance and healing and all that we need, we find you sufficient for. So be with each person here, Father, as they are invited to take the bread and the cup. Beyond those elements, might we be embracing you, dear Jesus, your love for us. Be with those with special needs. We think of Mr. Speck recovering from back surgery. Help him. We think of those anticipating moves in where they live. Help them to know you go ahead of them. Be with all the activities of this month. It's a holy month, as every month is. But we want to be close to you, passing on the news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Might you minister to each heart here this morning, Father. We come with broken hearts, but with hearts confident of your healing in our lives. So might we taste and see the Lord is good this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Paul said, I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. Remember Jesus on the night he was betrayed. He took bread and after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples saying, this is my body given for you. Do this remembering me. After supper, our Lord took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do this remembering me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.